The proposed legislation to block climate-related lawsuits and its potential impact on New Zealand's EU free trade commitments. Joining us is Emeritus Professor Jane Kelsey. Now, the government's considering legislation that would shield greenhouse gas emitters from climate-related lawsuits. And Jane from Auckland Law School says the move could have significant implications for our country's international climate and trade obligations. Thanks for joining us once again, Jane. Tēnā koe. It's wonderful to have another kōrero.
Oh, morena. Sounds like you've got a busy morning there.
Oh, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Different array of people and perspectives. It's really good to catch up with you again, Jane. Would you mind, please, explaining what this proposed legislation would do and why the debate over climate-related lawsuits matters so much for our country?
Well, this is kind of the latest of many moves that your listeners will be familiar with, where the government in its exercise of parliamentary sovereignty is running roughshod over Te Tiriti or Waitangi, but also over the other parts of the Crown, in particular the courts, and the case that Mike Smith had brought to challenge the likes of Fonterra and Z Energy and others for their emissions and therefore their contribution to the climate crisis. The Crown is basically now just, or the Parliament, the coalition government, is now just effectively cancelling that, but also cancelling access of anyone else to bring similar litigation against the big emitters in the future. So we're getting closer and closer to not just Parliament, but the executive, that is the parties that are, for the present day, at least until November, running the show, simply negating all of the avenues that anyone, including Māori, have to try to challenge what they're doing in the climate space.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. I followed the case with Mike for some time now, and it feels like it's denying the opportunity for everyday New Zealanders to take a case of this type. And of course, we've got the sus situation about the lobbying that went in for the change of that legislation. You've warned that banning these types of cases could put our country's commitments under its free trade agreement with the European Union at risk. Could you share how you think that could happen in practice?
Yeah, a little bit of context might help. Many of your listeners will remember that there's been protests against various international trade agreements for many years now, including by Māori. And in response to that, some governments, including in the EU, have started including commitments that you can't take actions domestically that are designed to attract foreign investors, for example, that involve you rolling back your environment and climate protections, and you can't take actions that are going to be inconsistent with what you've promised to do under the Paris Agreement to meet your obligations to try to address the climate crisis. And the New Zealand EU FTA has a chapter like that, a chapter on trade and sustainable development, that the New Zealand government signed up to, and it basically promised not to do exactly what it has been doing, of taking actions like this latest law that are designed to attract foreign investors, including in the fossil fuel sector, by winding back potential for environment protections. Likewise, not to take actions that are going to impede New Zealand's ability to meet its commitments under the Paris Agreement. Now, that chapter is difficult to get enforced. I think the Crown here has assumed that the EU would not take action against the New Zealand government for what it's been doing in rolling back all of its commitments to address the climate crisis. And as we saw recently, the Climate Commission basically saying that you're not on track to get anywhere near what your commitments have been. But there is in this EU FTA the ability for civil society groups, NGOs, who are a part of what's called a domestic advisory group under that agreement, to challenge what New Zealand is doing. And so there's an interesting potential at present for some of those EU groups who are involved in dealing with the climate issues to lodge a complaint under the EU FTA against New Zealand's breach of two particular commitments. One is that you don't lower your standards to attract foreign investors, including in the fossil fuel sector. And second, you don't take actions that are going to mean that you can't meet your Paris obligations. And so that is something that would be done at the EU level, but it would involve here groups who are a part of the equivalent domestic advisory group under that free trade agreement here, and that includes Māori entities. And it would challenge the government to have to explain what it is doing, to enter into dialogue and consultations on how to remedy what it's doing. And ultimately, if that can't get resolved, it could result in actions that lead to New Zealand's benefits under the FTA of its exports into Europe being reduced quite significantly because it's in breach of its obligations under that agreement.
Tēnā koe, Emeritus Professor Jane Kelsey is with us. Sadly, it has descended into this argument of legalese, this coin overrides climate and culture. We've been ridden roughshod over with Māori interests during the last 2.5 years, and sadly, this situation emerges as well. There is some, as you've touched on, opportunity for us to challenge this attitude from this coalition government. Who else would be keeping an eye on it? In the international community, would the European Union, for instance, be cognizant of the changes and how that might negatively impact those who are involved in the treaty, such as Māori interest, with the chapter that we know was part of the agreement? So we can arc up here. Is anyone going to arc up globally and put more pressure on our government's attitude, do you think, Jane?
Well, I mean, that's what's interesting, that in this agreement, it doesn't just give the European Union the ability to take action, but it gives civil society in Europe the chance to do that. Not here. We can't challenge what the government's doing under the FTA, but they can there. There's a similar possibility under the free trade agreement with the United Kingdom. And so we'll just have to see, you know, people are looking for whatever hooks might be available now, because this government is simply unaccountable, both in terms of Te Tiriti o Waitangi, but also whatever commitments it's made in the climate space.
Well, thank you. Looking ahead, what do you sense is the biggest legal and policy challenges the government's going to face in balancing the economic interests, climate commitments, and access to the courts now that this they have positioned themselves, particularly with Mike's case, but others would have followed in his footsteps, no doubt, had the opportunity to challenge in this way not been cut off with the immediacy of effect that the coalition have put together. So climate commitments, access to the courts, etc., what do you sense are the biggest legal and policy challenges?
Well, I think the biggest question for now is what happens after November and the election. If there is a change of government, are they going to commit to give priority to repealing this legislation, as well as making genuine commitments in relation to climate. And I think that has to be a fundamental question. If we look at what the impacts of the climate crisis have been on Māori communities all around the country, this is not a hypothetical. This is a real. And I heard you referring to Charlie Rahiri before and what's happened with the Māua landslide. And so that's going to be happening everywhere. And so one thing is what happens with the election, but another thing is that if we have a different coalition coming in, how are we going to deal with the climate deniers so that those communities actually have protection? And so it's an unusual avenue to think of looking to these commitments and free trade agreements, which some of us have said are actually pretty toothless, and see whether there is any way that even those can provide some leverage to push back on the completely irresponsible actions that are being taken, not only by the current coalition government, but by the emitters around the place. And that includes the new ones, like the new AI industries that are being promoted here that are going to be massive energy and resource intensive, contributing to the climate crisis. So we need a bigger picture discussion, and whatever are the hooks that Māori and others who work with Māori can use to try to push back on this.
It's always wonderful getting your perspectives to share as we develop our thinking on these multiple matters that contravene our rights. I look forward to more commentary on this issue as it moves forward. Emeritus Professor Jane Kelsey with us this morning to get us underway. Thanks again for joining us, Jane.
Kia ora, always lovely to talk to you.
Thank you, Jane. You're with Urban Māori Radio at 7:26.